Hi, I'm Tom Power. Welcome to Toy Harp, a podcast about bluegrass. This is the last episode of season two. Here from Nashville is my conversation with Allison Krauss.
I remember, you know, the first time I looked out in the audience and saw people singing words to our songs that only we had recorded. That was just a really crazy moment. Just never thought it'd end up being there. Never thought we'd hear back from Rounder. Yeah. Never thought we would hear from Rounder in the first place.
If this is your first time listening, you can hear full interviews with Jerry Douglas, Allison Brown, Bela Fleck, Larry Sparks, Jody Stecker, and so many more wherever you get your podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Later on.
From BGS and Osiris Media, you're listening to The Shift List, where chefs talk about the music that fills their kitchens, restaurants, and recipes. I'm Chris Jacobs. This week on the show, Chef Katie Button. Katie Button is at the helm of two restaurants in Asheville, North Carolina, the lively and authentic Spanish experience at Curate, the nationally acclaimed tapas restaurant, and Button & Co. Bagels, influenced by Katie's upbringing in New Jersey. Now, Chef Katie took a winding road to open her restaurants in Asheville, first pursuing science degrees at Cornell and earning her master's degree in biomedical engineering in Paris. But realizing that a life in science wasn't for her, she changed course to the culinary field, starting as a server at one of Jose Andres' restaurants in Washington, D.C., volunteering on her days off to work at his avant-garde restaurant mini bar to help prep in their kitchen, since she didn't have any professional cooking experience. Being in the kitchen made her realize that it was the place that she wanted to be most, so from there she got a position in the kitchen at New York's Jean Georges in their pastry kitchen as an intern. From there, she moved out to L.A. to work at The Bazaar by Jose Andres, and that following summer, she landed a position in the pastry kitchen at El Bulli, Chef Ferran and Albert Adria's legendary three Michelin star restaurant in Spain. It was there that she met her husband, Felix, and together they moved to Asheville to open a restaurant with her parents, where they eventually opened Curate in 2011. The classic Spanish tapas restaurant received instant attention and accolades from mentions in the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times, and earning status as a nominee for the James Beard Foundation's Rising Star Chef Award in 2014, semifinalist for Best Chefs in America in 2015, and a nominee for Best Chef Southeast 2018 and 2019. A driven entrepreneur and multifaceted chef, I was pleased to speak with Chef Katie after a recent shift at Button & Co. Bagels in Asheville.
My name is Katie Button, and I am the executive chef of Curate, which is a Spanish tapas restaurant, and Button & Company Bagels, our most recent venture into the world of bagels, which is where we are right now. And let's see, I live in Asheville, North Carolina.
Where are you from originally?
I was born in South Carolina in Conway, and we lived in Greenville when I was a little girl, but then I grew up in New Jersey.
Okay. Yeah. So you came back to North Carolina through via Jersey and other places.
Yes, exactly. Like. Yeah. Great. I grew up, my mother ran a catering business out of my home, hence a passion for food and love of food. And then I went and studied engineering at Cornell, got a master's degree in Paris, got into a PhD program, dropped out of my PhD program before I even started, and then started working in restaurants because I realized I was miserable and wanted to be happy and pursued my passion in food. Worked for Jose Andres in DC, then in LA, and then had the opportunity to go and live in Rosas in Spain, in Catalonia, and worked at El Bulli, Ferran Adria's restaurant. It was the number one restaurant in the world for 5 years. And then after that, I worked there for two seasons and then came back here, and we, with my husband and both of my parents, is a big family business, and we opened Curate.
So the Spanish influence, is that an important part of the music and the culture at Curate in Asheville, North Carolina?
It's not. You know, not in the music. I mean, sometimes we'll play some playlists, you know, with some Spanish guitar influence and things in our private dining room. But in the main dining room, it's not. My husband, who's from Spain, his whole thought on that is, like, he doesn't want people, when they think of Spain, to only think of bullfights and flamenco. Like, you know, like, to him, that is not Spain, right? And not what he loves about his country. Yeah. So he, and, you know, I don't know.
Talk more about that, because I think that's really interesting as far as, like, restaurant design and concept and, like, the vibe that you set. Like, I think that's,
well, that's
something
really
that
doesn't,
we don't talk about a lot.
Exactly. And so, and we really wanted at Curate the vibe to be fun, interactive, and with you have the noise of the kitchen. We have this big open kitchen. And so the music, we really wanted to fit with that. And we didn't want it to feel themed. There's an important thing about doing something authentic and then making it feel like you're in Disney World, right? So I think, you know, we started out and we used to play like indie rock music that Felix and I loved to listen to.
It was like back in 2011. You know, right? What would that have been in 2011 if you can go back that far?
I mean, we've been like, I don't know. I feel like, let me think. I think there's some MGMT and some Arcade Fire's
Arcade
been there forever.
Fire topped the list, yeah.
So,
but that definitely sets a different type of expectation as soon as you walk in the door.
Yes.
So you mentioned that you talked to some of your staff because give me the day-to-day.
Sure.
You know, the day-to-day for you, the day-to-day for them, kind of, you know, and do you want to talk more about Kurete or do you want to talk about here or does
Let's
it
talk about
just
talk
about
a little
both.
Bit. So
go ahead.
You know, the day-to-day, like for me, is from the moment I get up in the morning with my kids and then I'm like running around from, you know, 8:30 in the morning till the end of the day until I go home and try to get dinner and figure things out because now I have two small children. So my life is very different than when we were first starting out in our restaurants and opening and closing the whole thing. And
probably more structured, it sounds like.
Yeah. So my day is a little bit more running between restaurants, talking to my teams, helping manage. But I'm not, you know, sometimes I might work an event or expedite, but I rarely get the opportunity to sit in the prep kitchen with them and like listen to music and, you know, and work side by side with them. That's changed.
Daily rhythm has
changed.
That's
different. Yeah. So now, you know, what it's like in our kitchens for them, we have teams that come in the morning, like at the bagel shop, they'll come in at like 6 in the morning. At Kurete, it's like 7 and they work and do their prep stuff until after the lunch period, and then the PM crew will come in and do the PM shift over there.
Because Kurete is open for lunch and dinner.
Yeah.
And here at the bagel shop, it's
breakfast and
lunch.
Yeah.
Great.
So
they kind of dovetail into each other.
Exactly. That's exactly right. So, you know, and actually in both of our restaurants, we have open kitchens. So in the open kitchen environment, the staff unfortunately doesn't get to choose the music. They have to kind of just, I mean, they in the bagel shop, they have more influence. We're more flexible. At the bagel shop, we're like, kind of whatever we want to put on. And
I was waiting downstairs.
Fun.
We had the Kinks on one side, Lola, and some Beatles and stuff that's familiar but still critically good.
Yes, exactly. They're trying to hit somewhere in there, but they might, you know, get bored and then switch over to something entirely different. It'll be Otis Redding or something the next day. But
bright.
Yes.
Bright.
Yes.
Breakfast.
Fun.
Yeah. Lunch.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the idea. Yeah. But in our prep kitchens at Kurete and here, they can play music and we let them kind of alternate who takes the reins and
not one person is in charge.
No.
Yeah.
Otherwise they would all go crazy. So they kind of alternate. And I asked them today, you know, when I knew I was going to be talking to you about this, I was like, what are you guys listening to on a daily basis?
Yeah.
And I'll come in and hear them all like singing
together
like, while they're prepping. And that happened today. I walked in and they were listening to Jason Derulo, Want to Want Me. And like the whole kitchen is like singing. It was pretty funny. And then a few others that they said that top out on their normal charts. Bruno Mars.
Okay.
That's what I like.
Keep the energy up.
Yep. It's all high energy stuff.
Yeah.
ABBA.
Yeah.
Dancing Queen. One of my sous chefs, plays Run the World by Beyonce like almost every week. Girl, run the world. I also heard Hold On by Wilson Phillips today, so which is another. So that's what it's got to be fun, singable, energetic.
Yeah.
That's what they're playing.
When you're walking into Kurete at like 8 p.m. and it's packed on a Friday night, what do you typically like to hear?
You know, honestly, when I'm in service, I have this weird thing. I can't hear.
Yeah, I
except bet. For what's going on, like right in front
doesn't
of me.
Doesn't matter what else is going on around
no,
you.
No, no. When I will listen to music, is I'll hear it in the, like when I'm hearing it in the prep kitchen. Mm-hmm. I remember once. So I'm also like when I was in. I'm a big fan. When I was in high school and kind of and through college, I was a huge like early Modest Mouse fan. And Archers of Loaf and Built to Spill and like those bands are like my Dinosaur Jr. and They Might Be Giants. I listened to like all that stuff.
That's great.
And loved it. And once I came into the kitchen and one of my sous chefs was playing Soul Coughing and I just like high-fived him. Pixies were, anyway, anytime anybody plays anything from that, you know, I don't know, kind of category in any of those bands, I really freak out.
Do any of the sous chefs, do they seem surprised when you're like, yes, this is my stuff?
Oh yeah, totally. Because I'm usually just like very kind of serious and in my work. So when they realize and connect, I remember one of my former prep cooks was talking about it with somebody and they were talking about music and I don't know, they were saying, I wonder what Chef likes to listen to. And I walked in the room and he was like, oh, Chef's a rocker. He was like, you don't know it, but
alternative underground indie rocker.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Because you're talking about Modest Mouse before they even had that.
Oh my God. Yes. Before like Moon in Antarctica, I loved, and Lonesome Crowded West. I'm like, yeah.
Eating snowflakes and plastic forks and a paper plate, of course you.
That's great.
that's my jam.
So do you have any good memories, like musical memories of some of the other restaurants you worked in, like when you were over in Spain or when you're with Jose or anything like that? What was the culture like in those kitchens?
There was no music. Yeah. I mean, when I was working at LBE, there was no music. It was very focused. Like, they wouldn't let you listen to music. I don't even think there was music in the dining room at LBE. Come to think about it. Actually, I'm glad we're talking about this because then you remember things.
Yeah.
So one of the most amazing, there were two partners that brought El Bulli into existence. Julie Soler, who was the maitre d' and one of the head guys, he's the main reason that El Bulli ever came about. And he's the one who really pushed Ferran Adrià, the famous chef, to go study and learn. And Julie was a Rolling Stones fanatic, like hardcore Rolling Stones. So he would, if he wasn't like, I think sometimes he would be playing it, but most of the time he'd be singing Rolling Stones. So it was that is my memory from Spain.
It was just singing the Rolling Stones.
Yes.
Nashville's a great music city.
I know.
I'm discovering.
It's wonderful. Well, I mean, we've seen some great groups play here, and I've just been floored. It's growing a lot. I mean, when we moved here in 2011, there were, like, the restaurant scene was beginning. There were some restaurants and things that, and obviously a culture of a love of food and supporting the farmers markets that was already here. I mean, that's why we were like, okay, we can do this here. But since we moved and opened, the number of different unique concepts that have been created since then, it's really cool.
How big is Asheville? Do you know?
85,000 population. But there's this vibe of, I don't know, craftsmanship in, like, you know, the musicians, the artists, the brewers, distillers, beekeepers, you know, potters, glassblowers. It's cool. Flour millers, like the things that people kind of geek out on and do really well, is amazing.
Thanks to Katie Button, chef and owner of Curate and Button & Company Bagels in Asheville, North Carolina. Head to our link in the podcast page at thebluegrasssituation.com to check out her playlist, and visit katiebuttonrestaurants.com for links to both restaurants, as well as signed copies of her first book, Curate, Authentic Spanish Food from an American Kitchen. The Shift List is produced by me, Chris Jacobs. Our executive producer is Amy Reitenauer, with help, as always, from the entire BGS team, including associate editor Justin Hiltner, marketing guru Joseph Klingel, and all the amazing writers and contributors that make BGS the best source for Roots culture redefined. Special thanks to RJB and Nick Sejas over at Osiris Media. Check out their entire roster of music and culture podcasts over at osirispod.com. If you love The Shift List, please leave us a review or rating over at itunes.com/theshiftlist. I'm Chris Jacobs. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Cindy Howes and Lizzie Ngo from the podcast Basic Folk, honest conversations with folk musicians.
Basic Folk is truly changing the game with our well-researched deep dives that aim to empower the listener while fostering the folk community.
I basically am writing worship music for youth group rejects.
Maternal regrets and maternal guilt are universal.
I try to make things that are beautiful and that are made with like a purity of intention.
You can listen to Basic Folk on the Bluegrass Situation Podcast Network or at basicfolk.com.